a guide for this pathway along with Dr. Amanda Pittman. We'd like to welcome you or welcome you back. This is our second session in the Faith Among Emerging Adults pathway today. This morning, we've already spent some time thinking about some recent data on college freshmen. And now we're going to spend some time with our next guest speakers thinking about disaffiliation among emerging adults in within Christianity today. And then this afternoon, we'll have a couple of series where we have some folks who are in the front lines. One, right after lunch, we'll spend some time with four ministers who have been ministering to emerging adults and are also recently young adults themselves. And so we'll have a roundtable with them after lunch at 1:30 in this room. And then at 2:30, we'll be joining the Racial Healing and Racial Unity and Justice pathway for a panel of four current students at ACU who'll be talking about their own experiences within the church and also within a Christian university. And then we'll finish out our day with that same pathway. Those will be over in room 114, which is on the other side of this middle hallway, if you would like to stay with us. This is now my great pleasure to introduce our next speakers. We have Dr. Lynette Sharpena and Dr. Susie Macaluso, who will be talking to us today about a crisis of faith among our youth, disaffiliation among emerging adults in Christianity. Dr. Sharpena is the chair of the Department of Communication and Sociology here at ACU and professor of communication. Her teaching and research interests include crisis communication, persuasion and social influence, and gender and religion. We're thankful to have her. And then we have Dr. Macaluso, who also is a professor in our communications department. She is currently associate professor of sociology and the director of the Pruitt Gerontology Center at ACU. Please join me in welcoming our speakers.
Thank you and good morning. Welcome again. I am Susie Macaluso, and today is September 16th, and it is just after 10 a.m. in room number 128 of the Bible Building. This morning, we are going to be talking about some data that Dr. Sharpena and I have collected on those who have left Churches of Christ specifically. But I want to start by centering this in a broader conversation of trends of leaving in Christianity in the United States in general. So I'm going to show you some numbers here that come from some various resources that I've got cited at the bottom. So first, we're looking at some data from the Pew Research Center for the People and the Press. And this is coming from data from 2006 to 2009, as well as some more recent data from the American Values Atlas in 2016. And what this is showing us is among white Christians, kind of what are the trends in membership and involvement. So this is showing 2006 to 2016, with white evangelicals being that top line, white mainline Protestants being that middle line, and then white Catholics kind of towards the bottom. And one of the interesting things to note is that through the 1970s, while the mainline churches were seeing a large decline, conservative or evangelical churches were a little bit insulated. There was a lot of kind of speculation as to why that would be. And what we see is that in the last kind of 20 years, that insulation has worn off. And so all of these denominations have been in pretty steady decline over the last 20 or so years, including, again, the white evangelical Protestants. And you might disagree with this, but sociologists put Churches of Christ in the white evangelical category, and so that's important to note. This is another way of looking at this. This is the rise of the religiously unaffiliated. So this is data taken from the General Social Survey. This is a survey of Americans, adults age 18 and over, that's taken place since 1972 in the United States. It's now collected every 2 years. This is an amazing source of data. They actually ask the same question every time, so you can actually do a nice comparison. And what we see is that beginning in 1990, you start to see this rise in those people who, when asked, what is your current religious affiliation, they say none. Right? Now, these people don't necessarily not go to church. Right, some of these people still attend church, they still pray, they still say that they are religious or spiritual, but they're not wanting to affiliate with a particular denomination. There's not been the same rise in those who claim that they are atheist or agnostic. That's a different category. But this is important because there's this desire to kind of push back against the labels of denominations and religious affiliation.
Can I ask a question on that?
Sure.
So do these folks attend church, and so how often?
Some of them do, and right around the same averages as kind of your everyday Americans, kind of once a month or so, maybe a little bit more often. I'm not entirely sure of the exact percent, as I don't have it up here, but they aren't that much less likely. They're slightly less likely because this also does include those who would consider themselves atheists or agnostic, but it also includes a good group of people who still attend, they just don't want a label.
Yeah.
Or they're not a regular enough attender to claim something. Maybe they're jumping from church to church at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a possibility.
But these people are not included in the figures of the evangelical.
Correct. Class. Correct. Because they would say that they are nuns.
Gotcha.
This is another way of looking at this. One of the things that we're interested in is differences by age. So this table from the Public Religious Research Institute and their American Values Atlas shows us this breakdown by age. So the white evangelical Protestant, that's the group at the bottom, that dark blue. And then the purpley color kind of at the top, that's the unaffiliated. And then you can see kind of the other groups that are in there as well. And so what you'll notice is a huge difference between the 18 to 29-year-old group, that emerging adult group, and then pretty much everyone else. That as you kind of move towards older adulthood, the numbers vary dramatically. And so we have a large percentage, over a third of those 18 to 29-year-olds are unaffiliated, right? And then compare that to 12% of those age 65 and over. So there's some sort of generational difference at play here. And this kind of goes along with some other research from a sociologist named Robert Putnam. He wrote a book called Bowling Alone that is all about kind of our move away from voluntary associations, religion being one of those voluntary associations. But we are less likely to join things now than we were in the past, whether that's a bowling league, whether that's a Rotary Club or Kiwanis, or a religious institution. And that book was written in the early 2000s, and we've seen that trend continue, kind of this higher levels of individualism, which I think goes along with this not wanting to affiliate with a particular denomination, but also kind of this move away. Also, the 18 to 29-year-olds in 2016, these are probably that first group that is raised by parents who were raised or who were having kids in the 80s and early 90s. And that's that generation that started to fall away. So that's important as well, because we know that family ties are important in terms of religiosity. All right, so now I want to take you to some data that I've collected specifically on Churches of Christ. So one of the other projects that I'm involved in is with the Seibert Institute and the creation of what's called the Church Health Assessment. I'm going to talk more about that tomorrow morning at 10 a.m., 1:30, if you want to join me for that. But one of the things that we can see from that data is that a lot of our churches and Churches of Christ are aging. We're having a problem either retaining or attracting young people, or both, right? And so this is data taken from 17 congregations that have participated in the Church Health Assessment over the last several years. And what you'll see is that these congregations are largely over age 55, right? That the members, the people who are participating in the survey, are older adults, and very few of those respondents are under the age of 35. Now, I want to say respondents because these are not church censuses. These are people who have participated in a survey voluntarily. Now, largely, this is about half the church that responds, and the church leaders in those churches indicate that this is pretty indicative of what their congregation looks like. So it's not too far off. So this is kind of setting the stage for here's the problem, right? And so now I'm going to turn it over to Dr. Sharp-Pena to talk about the literature that we have on why people leave, and then a little bit about the data that we collected for this particular project.
Okay, so one of the things that we see when we look at the literature in the sociology of religion, there's lots of literature about why people leave. Some of the literature looks at disaffiliation in terms of completely leaving religious tradition, and some of it looks at switching, so religious switching, so they go from one type of congregation to another, or one type of denomination to another. I want to highlight just a few of the reasons why people leave. We have several listed here, and of the ones we have listed here, I'm going to talk just about a few of them that we're going to follow up on with the research that we report here, right? So specifically related to education, one of the things that we find from the literature is that higher education is associated with switching from conservative to moderate Protestant traditions. Okay, so higher education is associated with switching from conservative to more moderate Protestant traditions. The next, if you look at the marriage and divorce, we find that conservative Protestants whose parents divorce are more likely to disaffiliate. And if you look at the third I want to talk about is age, that's over in the right column here. Age is associated with staying in a religious tradition, so the older the people are, the more likely they are to stay. The younger the person, the more likely they are to disaffiliate. And in this, I mean leaving altogether. Okay, so that's age. Religious tradition of origin, we find that conservative Protestantism, that's associated with retention compared to moderate liberal Protestantism. So people who affiliate with the moderate liberal Protestantism are more likely to disaffiliate than their conservative Protestant counterparts. Okay, and then finally, number five, the gender variable here, what we find is that women are more likely than men to switch from a fundamentalist tradition than to remain. Okay, so women are leaving fundamentalist traditions more often than men. Okay, so those are just a few things that we find in the literature. There are lots of things that we could look at, but those are most associated with what we're going to talk about in the next few minutes. So we did a couple of studies that we're going to report on here. They're similar in some ways, but they're also different in some ways. So this is a little bit about study one. We were looking at current and former members of Churches of Christ, or current and former people who had attended a Church of Christ. We used a network sampling technique. This is a technique that's used to find hard-to-reach samples. We don't have lists of people who are in Churches of Christ, or at least that would be easy for us to obtain, and we certainly don't have lists of people who've left Churches of Christ. So we used a network sampling technique. We solicited through email and social media, particularly Facebook, the survey, and asked people to complete the survey and forward the link to other people that they knew who might qualify for the survey. We had a total of, if you can see up here in the third bullet point, 2,099 adults who participated in the survey. So these are people who are 18 or over. And they are people who currently attended or had attended a Church of Christ. Of those people, we had 409 disaffiliates. So this is 409 people who had left Churches of Christ. So the average age for the disaffiliates was 43 years old, and we found that 18% of this sample was under the age of 30. So we have a good portion under the age of 30. If you look at the demographics for the sample, you can see these are the typical characteristics of people in the sample. We have more females than males, slightly. We have about 60% female. This is a predominantly white sample, 94% white. They're mostly married, 78% married. And this is a pretty highly educated sample, with about 75% of people having a bachelor's degree or higher level of education. And this is a survey that went out throughout the country. However, we do have approximately a third of respondents that we're reporting on here who are from Texas, and the next highest number was about 7% from Tennessee. We also find, typically we have pockets of respondents. The higher numbers come from states that have Church of Christ affiliated institutions in terms of schools. So we have California, Oklahoma, Arkansas are also a little bit higher in terms of numbers, but we probably had about every state and Washington, D.C. represented in the sample. Okay, so that was sample one. Sample two, so this is the second study that we did. The first study was in 2013. The second study was in 2016. We used the same kind of sampling technique, but we had a larger sample. In this work, we had 4,000, almost 800 adults who attended or had attended a Church of Christ, and of those, 1,324 were disaffiliates. So we had a good number of people who had left in this particular sample. In terms of the demographics, it's strikingly similar to the first study. In this study, we likely had people who were in the first one participate in the second one. However, this one is much larger than the first one, so we have a whole bunch of people who didn't participate in the first one. So this is 1,324 disaffiliates compared to 409. So there are a lot more people that participated here. Again, we have 42.9, about 43 years of age is the average. 18%, again, are under the age of 30. Again, it's predominantly female. This one's a little bit more female, 70%. About 95% white, 72% married, and 80% had a bachelor's degree or higher. And you can see that the sample comes from the same geographic region. Again, Texas is a little higher. It's about 38%, and Tennessee is about 7.6% here. So those are the two samples that we gathered, that we're talking about here. So all the rest of the data that we're reporting came from these two studies. So when we looked at reasons for leaving in study one, we had an open-ended question. And we asked participants who indicated that they no longer were in Churches of Christ to explain why they no longer attended a Church of Christ. And then we categorized those responses into these 10 categories. So the categories emerge from the data, and they're consistent with the things that we do see in the literature for reasons why people leave. So we have these 10 categories that were identified. I would say that in an open-ended response, a person could give multiple reasons in that open-ended response, and so they were coded for all the reasons given in that response. So one person's reason, one person's open-ended response could be categorized into more than one of the 10 categories, right? So we found here then these are the 9 categories. So we had climate, so they found the church being too judgmental or harsh or not inclusive. Theology was another reason. Sometimes they thought that there was something wrong with the church's theology. Gender was indicated when they felt that women weren't being included in leadership positions or worship roles in the church. They then also sometimes left for practices. They wanted to have some kind of different worship experience. They also left because of marriage and divorce. So maybe they changed churches because of a spouse's belief or after they had a divorce. Sometimes they left altogether, so they questioned belief in a higher power, or they no longer believed in a deity, or they didn't want to be part of organized religion. They also, some of the people indicated that there was a name change for their church, and so that was why they left. Family was a reason. Maybe they didn't have all the kinds of things they wanted to have for their particular family. Another category was that they moved, and then we had other, which was a diverse set of responses that didn't fit into a particular category. Okay, so those were the 10 reasons, and then we looked at the responses in terms of how many men responded in this way and how many females responded in this way and the total set of responses. So here, I just want to draw your attention to the top three. So if you look at here on the total side, percent of total on the right, the top three reasons for leaving are climate. So 32% of the sample in study one said that they left because of climate. 17.5% left, or almost 18%, because of theology. and then about the same number, 17.4% left due to gender practices in the church.
Okay.
And so you can see that there weren't very many that were in the other category. So these were the ones, again, that were kind of one-off responses that we weren't able to categorize, right? I would also mention here that you can see the male-female responses. So the males listed climate theology and gender in that order as reasons for disaffiliating, and then women listed climate, gender, number two, and then theology for reasons for leaving. I'd also mention that there are here a total of 545 responses, unique responses, which means that approximately 1.3 responses are given per person. So they're giving a little more than one response per person, or one reason for leaving, a little more than one reason for leaving per person. Okay. Dr. McLuhan is going to talk just a moment about this.
Yeah, so I wanted to pull out some of the actual responses that people gave, and I looked at respondents who were under the age of 25 in 2013 when the data were collected. And so these were just kind of a representative sample, and you can see what's on the minds of people under the age of 25. So our first respondent, who's a woman under who's age 21, it seems like the Church of Christ is uninterested in learning, changing, or growing. I'm tired of feeling like a second-class citizen in a place that is supposed to be about social justice. So this would be kind of climate as well as theology, kind of this desire kind of stuck in the past, not willing to learn or change. We didn't look at who said what when we categorized for gender. We could probably assume that this issue about social justice might have to do with gender, but not necessarily, because she doesn't specifically say. So she wouldn't, that wouldn't have been classified as gender. Our second respondent, another woman, age 23, I am not anti-Church of Christ. However, most of the ones I have been to seem closed-minded and place rules as a higher priority over love. So again, this would be classified as climate, kind of this feeling that they get in church. A male, age 25, says lack of the trust and belief in the modern movement of the Holy Spirit. This we would classify as theology because it's about beliefs about the Holy Spirit. Another male, age 23, I did not agree with their beliefs on heaven and hell, the role of women in church, or the role of musical instruments in worship. So here we've got three reasons for leaving, right? So the first is about theology, the beliefs in heaven and hell. The second is about gender, the role of women in church. And the third is about practices, worship, music, in church. A woman, age 22, I attend church off and on. I do not believe that regular church attendance is necessary to my spiritual well-being. So this is an interesting one. So this is one of those folks who claims no religious affiliation, but still attends every once in a while, right? And I think this is really interesting because it speaks to that individualism, that I don't need the community necessarily to still be a religious person or a spiritual person and to have a relationship with God. And then lastly, we have this woman, age 25. I have found it difficult since college to find one that understands and respects the calling some women have to serve in various leadership capacities. I have also found it difficult to be valued in one that does that in ones that do not provide or that do provide those opportunities. So this woman is speaking to both climate and women's capacity to serve, so gender. So these are some of the responses that we got, particularly from women under age, or men and women under age 25. Older adults were more likely to mention things like marriage and family issues, because of course those are things that are affecting them in different ways than emerging adults.
So those are the reasons for leaving from 2013. Now I'm going to talk for a few minutes about the reasons for leaving from 2016. Actually, I'm going to talk a little bit about the methodology, and then Dr. McLuso is going to follow up with the results from that particular research. So in 2016, the methodology was different. We already had our categories, right? And so what we did, instead of giving them a question where they had an open-ended response, we just said, give us the reasons for leaving the Church of Christ that you were affiliated with, and check all that apply, right? So then we listed the 10, okay? And it's kind of interesting, the results that we found. So we found some similar things, but there are also a few differences that I'll point out, right? So you'll see here that there are, if you look on the right side of the chart, the same top three reasons. Okay, so climate, theology, and gender are gender practices are the same three reasons as in the first study, and the order of them in terms of importance is also the same order. Okay, but there are a couple of things that are interesting to point out. Here you'll see that they actually indicated more reasons for leaving, right? They could check all that apply. So what do you do when you have a checklist and you're able to check all that apply? You check all, right? Or you might have some ideas of, or things come to you that you might not have already thought of, right? And so what we saw was we saw a higher percentage for each category here. In this one, we had about twice as many reasons given as in 2013. I'm not sure that people had twice as many reasons. It might have just been because in 2013, they just wrote one reason and then went on, right? But interestingly, the reasons are the same in terms of the top three, okay? The other thing that I would mention here that we found interesting was the other category. So here, 26% of respondents said they had another reason, not one of the nine that was listed, but another reason for leaving, right? So this tells us that we have more work to do, that we should increase our number of categories from 10 to more categories because people have more reasons for leaving. Probably if we looked at this other category, we would find that it wasn't filled with just one-offs. We could probably group those into some additional categories. So that would be something that we could look at in future research. So I'm going to give this over to Dr. Matthew.
All right, so you'll notice that we have on this table a breakdown of those age 18 to 29 and then age 30 and over. And you can see our total number of participants here. It's not quite equal groups because we're not looking at equal age distributions, right? But we do have 237 people who were under the age of 30 in this sample, which is a good fair number. And so we ran some statistical tests to see which categories have some sort of difference. So in mathematical terms, when we say statistical significance, we mean that the difference we're seeing is likely not due to chance, that it's not some random fluke of the data, but that there's probably some real underlying difference between these groups on this particular category. So the first one you'll see here is on gender issues, right? So for those over age 30, 41.3% of them marked this as a reason for leaving. Whereas 55.7% of those under age 30 marked this as a reason for leaving. And this is an important statistical difference, right? We've got about 14% difference here between these two groups. And then if we were to kind of stretch this out, I would imagine kind of a linear relationship that the older you get, the less likely you are to mark this as a reason. I didn't test that. That's my intuitive thought here. Another reason is practices. So we see a big difference here between, again, those age 30 and over and those under age 30, where those under age 30, 51.5% marked practices as a reason for leaving, and only 37.4, although that's still over a third, of those over age 30 marked this as a reason for leaving. So there's something going on here where younger people in Churches of Christ have different priorities of things that they are looking for than those who are over age 30. Another one I want to mention that's really important is who left altogether. So we'll talk about this in a few minutes. Those over age 30, they left Church of Christ, but most of them went somewhere else. Most of them reaffiliated to another denomination, another church in town, whereas those under 30 were twice as likely to just not go anywhere, right? To not go to another church, but to leave altogether. And that's a really important distinction. And then also, young people are more mobile. They're more likely to move, and when they make that move, they're less likely to find a church to call home, which is important. We also have reasons for leaving by gender. Now, this is not broken out by age. So now we're just looking at males and females of all ages. And what we see is that there is a statistically significant difference in theology. Men are thinking more about theology than women are. or at least they're expressing it in that way. So women might be ascribing the same problem to emotion or climate or feelings of exclusion, whereas men are identifying that specifically as theology. And I think that has to do with the way that we teach men and women as young adults or children in our tradition. On gender, there is a difference. Women are more likely to cite that, but that difference is not statistically significant. So the issue of women serving in leadership roles is important to both men and women. And that's also an important note here. Sometimes the importance is not just on what's different, but also what's the same. All right, so then this is a big table with lots and lots of numbers. So I'm going to walk you through a couple of these significant things. This is about education. So this is a highly educated group. And actually, in the church health assessment, I'm also finding that we are a fairly educated group. We value intellect. And so I don't think that's that unusual. Keep in mind that this high school degree group is a small number. There's only 26 of them out of 1,300. So let's not put too much weight on what this group says. Those 26 people are not super representative of everyone without a high school degree. But there are a couple of differences that are important here. Lynette, can you advance the slides one? I don't know what happened.
She's the arrows on the keyboard.
Well, there's a note that popped up on the screen. There we go. Okay, so first let's start with theology. So look at this beautiful line. If we were to graph this out, you'd have a nice line where the more education you have, the more likely you are to give theology as a reason. The more we know about theology, the more likely we are to say that theology is our reason for leading. That kind of makes some intuitive sense. Another one that's important here is the difference in gender. If you are moving up the line, so if we look at those with some college, 31% mark gender as a reason for leading versus those with a doctoral degree. And there are 95 of them in this sample, 63.2%. So again, the higher the education, the more likely you are to mark this as a reason for leading. And that is a pretty straight line relationship. Another one is leaving altogether. Now, there's not a linear relationship here, but those who are most likely to leave altogether are kind of those in the middle, right? Those with some college, with a bachelor's degree, those are the most likely to leave, as well as those with a professional degree. And then those with a doctoral degree, they go somewhere else, right? They stay, which is kind of interesting. We also have reasons for leaving by marital status. So again, another large table with just a couple of things that are statistically significant. The first being gender. So those who are single are more likely to mark this as a reason for leaving than those who are either married or divorced or widowed. Again, be careful, only 18 people in our sample are widowed. Most are married, followed by those who are consider themselves single. And then we also see practices. Those who are single are more likely to mark this as a reason for leaving. Now, singleness also correlates very strongly with age, and so that's important as well, because if you're older, you're more likely to have been married. And then also leaving altogether. Single people are more likely to leave church altogether rather than find another place to affiliate. All right, so where do they go? Where do people go when they do leave Churches of Christ? So this is coming from our data in 2013, and here we took the time to categorize people's responses to where they currently attend church into kind of the sociological categories. So again, Church of Christ would be evangelical Protestant. So most people who leave Churches of Christ go somewhere else that's an evangelical Protestant church. So they're not moving that far away. And these are people who likely aren't leaving over grand theological issues, but practices. Those, we have 16% that are going to mainline Protestant traditions, 7.5% that are going somewhere other that's non-Protestant, so maybe Catholic or Orthodox. It's kind of an interesting jump. And then we have about 16% that have no denominational affiliation or say that they do not attend. So again, the majority of people who are leaving or who identify themselves as leaving in 2013 went to another evangelical Protestant church. A lot of that was non-denominational churches. So the rise of non-denominational churches kind of influences and impacts us. Looking at 2016, we did not take the time to put them into those categories. Instead, we kind of pulled what are the top responses that people gave. And so the top responses, as you'll see, the 32.9% of those age 30 and over, it's about the same. Go to another Christian denomination that's not listed here. That's primarily non-denominational, or what we might think is like Bible church or community church. It's something that we didn't list specifically in our like 50 options. Southern Baptist, as you would expect, Christian church, another from our tradition, Disciples, Episcopal, Methodist, those are all kind of the larger groups. But I want to draw your attention to this group that does the don't attend, right? So this is different than marking on the reasons for leaving, marking I no longer believe or I left altogether, right? This is a different question. This one is about what's your religious affiliation, and that question actually came before they told us why they left, which is important. But you'll see that that's where the real difference lies, is that those under age 30 are most likely to say that they don't attend than those 30 and older. Which, there you go, it's highlighted for you right there. So where do people go? Younger adults are more likely to say that they have left altogether. So the key takeaways here, we'll have about 5 minutes for some questions and follow-up, but the key takeaways, I think, are about gender, practices, and leaving altogether. These are the places where we see the largest differences between those who are over age 30 and those who are under age 30. And so I think this is where we need to kind of focus our attention. What are our policies? What are our stances on this? How welcoming are we being? And are we preparing people to, if they choose to practice differently, if we decide that we're not going to change our practices, are we encouraging them to find a place where they fit? Or are we satisfied with them leaving altogether? So I'll go ahead and open it up for questions, for a few questions. We threw a lot of numbers at you. I'm sorry.
Was the gender question always phrased about not being included? Did some say they left because women started being included?
They went to other churches of Christ.
Okay.
So people didn't leave churches of Christ generally. At least in the 2013 data, no one said that they left churches of Christ because women were beginning to be included. Now, they may have switched churches of Christ because of that, but they didn't leave our fellowship.
Okay.
I would also say that in the 2013 data, we looked at, we pulled up people who left for the reason of gender, and we looked at where they went, and they primarily went mainline to a mainline denomination, which tends to not be as conservative in terms of gender roles, and so women would typically have a greater participation rate in those kind of
What are the next steps as far as acquiring data? Where are you guys going, I guess, is the question.
We are not sure. We have not discussed that much.
Okay.
My research has kind of taken me into work with Dr. Boyles and Dr. Pittman on kind of freshman stuff. I think another survey where we kind of explore this a little bit more would be interesting, but we haven't really figured out where we're going from here.
I would also say several years ago, about a decade ago, Dr. Stephen Johnson and I did a survey of churches of Christ that called themselves gender inclusive and looked at how women were involved in those congregations. It's been about a decade, and I think that we want to look again at what women are doing in congregations that would call themselves gender inclusive.
Sorry.
in the future, sometime soon.
Thank you.
So on the gender topic, that it concerns me the accelerating trend. And just a quick story, and then I'm asking you to respond to the acceleration of that trend. So I'm endorsed by Churches of Christ, and that is done through the elders at the Fairfax Church in Virginia. And almost 4 years ago, I met with them. I wrote a little hermeneutic treatise of why I thought we should ordain women for chaplaincy. Mm-hmm. And I'm a big supporter of that. And I made that presentation to them. They rejected that position, stating that theologically they didn't disagree with me, but that they follow the lead of the churches. And then their response was that they felt like in a generation it would just solve itself naturally.
It's going to solve itself by not having
I'm
to
not convinced. I'm not convinced that we have the luxury of time.
I'm not either. So I spoke at the summer seminar. Some of you, I think I might have been there, with Doug Foster and Wes Crawford about kind of the state of Churches of Christ. And considering the trends in overall Christianity in the United States, I'm with you. I don't think we have the luxury of time to wait and let it sort itself out, because I think that Churches of Christ will cease to exist. Should we not at least think about and approach these? And if we are claiming to be based in Scripture and we're going to follow scriptural commands, then I think we need to, if we're saying, oh, we don't think this is theological, then I think that's a problem. Now, if you think this is theologically based, then okay, then you need to follow your interpretation of Scripture. But if we say that we are based on Scripture, then we should be based on Scripture. So I think that's a really, thank you for that story.
Yeah, and I would say that 10 years ago, the data that we found from churches that would consider themselves gender inclusive, women were doing a variety of things. I think a lot of times people don't know, and it was all across the country, right? So it wasn't just in one place in the U.S. that women were doing these things. And we also saw that women were doing different kinds of things, and they were less likely, like one of the least likely things for them to do was to actually preach, right? Although I think that has changed some in the last 10 years, so that's one of the reasons why I'd like to do it again. But preaching and being an elder were two of the things they were less likely to do, but they were more likely to do some of the other kinds of things.
Well, and it's left several of us chaplains with the decision of changing to an independent Christian church as our endorser.
Yes, so some of the ways that people resolve the issue is they change, they take the name off, and sometimes we saw them actually changing the name of those categories. So they would change the name from deacon to something else, right? Or they would change the name from elder to something else. There's some rhetorical strategy going on there.
We have time for probably one more question or comment.
In terms of practices, I don't know how in-depth you got into that. Did it seem like instrumental music was the major factor? We're mostly talking about worship style. Or were there other aspects to those sort of practices that you noticed?
So in the 2013 data, it doesn't come up as much, and that's where we have a little more information about what exactly they mean. And it was kind of split between instrumental worship. In my recollection, I don't remember that like standing out to me as everyone wants instruments.
Right.
But it was the style. Kind of more of an updated style, and that might mean
right.
instruments, but that could also mean more kind of praise and worship instead of hymns.
Mm-hmm.
Or it could mean maybe a praise team, or it could mean a lot of different things. And so that's kind of we're not sure,
sure
what exactly they mean by that. And we're really not sure in the 2016 because it was a checkbox.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thank you all so much for joining.